Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
That was a quick hour. We still haven't gotten to Monday Night Football, but we will. You'll hear from Aaron Rodgers and Brock Purdy, as well as the coaches. Jordan Mason with a career game, stepping in at the last second, I think, to be confirmed. He didn't find out until right before the game that he would be starting in place of Christian McCaffrey, who was dealing with a setback with his calf injury. Or just some extra pain with his calf injury that he's been nursing. But to see Aaron Rodgers back on the field, he gets all the way through an entire game. That's got to be a relief to New York Jets fans who didn't see that last season and know the entire franchise was built around him. At the same time, Rodgers doesn't play defense, and the Robert Saleh-led Jets D allowed 180 rushing yards. This is without Christian McCaffrey. 180 rushing yards, nearly 5 yards per rush. There were throws that both quarterbacks missed that they like to have back. There's some rhythm. There's some timing. All of that stuff comes with more reps. But what about the defense for the New York Jets that's supposed to be so good and allowing that many yards on the ground? So you'll hear from Robert Saleh as well as Kyle Shanahan about his side of things. But the Niners start out 1-0. The Jets are 0-1, and they do have a tough schedule to begin. So they really don't have a whole lot of time to be feeling bad about it. Now, Aaron stays relatively optimistic, and it was good to see him back on the field. I've said this before, that the NFL is better when Aaron Rodgers is playing football, and I do hope that this year and next year, that these are some vintage Aaron Rodgers so we can enjoy it before he ends his Hall of Fame career. At the same time, though, I got to tell you, as much as I was focused on Aaron and him getting through the game and what the Niners were doing without Christian McCaffrey, I tuned in for the first quarter and a half of the Monday Night Mannings with Peyton and Eli and how excited they were to get back on the air for Monday Night Football, and then welcoming Bill Belichick within a couple of minutes of the broadcast starting. Oh my gosh, how comically awkward it was, because the three of them kept stepping all over each other. There would be these long pauses, and then Peyton and Bill inevitably would start talking at the same time. In one stretch, it happened 5 times in a row where they each started to talk at exactly the same time. Eli finally stopped talking because every time he talked, Belichick was talking over him. I've never seen such a loquacious Bill Belichick in my life, but it was very awkward at times. They really have got to figure out that rhythm. I'm sure it's tough, but there's got to be some ground rules, because it was a mess in the first quarter where all they were doing was talking over each other and then stopping and then starting again and then stopping. And so, yeah, that was very distracting. But I did at least enjoy seeing Belichick the way that he was.
So here I am. Hello, InstaFace.
Oh, dear.
See you soon.
Got to practice up on your timing. But, oh my gosh, to hear him talk football and formations is freaking amazing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We'll take some more calls here as we head through this first segment. And then also, we want to get to some Monday Night Football. But I'll take a few more of your calls. I certainly appreciate your feedback at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page if you want to weigh in. The only thing I want is that it's respectful. We do not have to have the same opinions, but I'm not going to insult you for your opinion, and you're not going to insult me for mine, and we can have a discussion about this without being completely over the top and ridiculous, right? That's kind of what I would have as a hope. And since I'm the traffic cop in this particular situation, it's my show. I suppose you'll have to abide by my rules. So that's at least one luxury that I retain. Gabe is listening in Florida. Gabe, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm just calling to speak about the Tyreek Hill situation, which I saw. And I thought once body cams came into play, this stuff would all end, because when I was young, it was worse. And basically, the way he was treated reminded me of one time when I was at the Grove. Halloween, I ran in, I kind of bumped into a cop by mistake, and my friend was like, oh, you bumped into a cop. And I was like, I mean, mind you, I'm a kid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I don't care. And then the cop just came and grabbed me. He's like, well, you think you're a little punk? And like, it's like ridiculous, the attitude. And I actually got beat up. He let me go, but he took my friend to jail for no reason. And they lied and said, oh, that he got into a fight. So there is officers out there like that. There's officers that are great, because I have officer friends as well. So it's just, it was very sad to see that. That's all I wanted to say, pretty much.
Okay. Oh, I appreciate you sharing your perspective. I do think, I absolutely agree with you that the force that was used was excessive and unnecessary. And it seems to me, again, not ever having been in law enforcement or facing a situation like that or any other, that the situation could have been de-escalated and that they could have not responded to Tyreek in terms of his being lippy. Words are just words. Who gives a crap? I mean, I certainly understand why they would get upset over a window. That, to me, would be a major red flag. As much as officers are trained and you would think equipped, and in this particular case, they're the ones that, you know, you can see their weapons. You don't know what a person is doing behind closed windows in a vehicle. And again, with the climate these days in the United States, there are many law enforcement officers that are under attack. So that part I get. You know, he rolled down his window. He said, don't tell me what to do, and he rolled it back up again. That part I totally get. I do not in any way understand why they would need to use force. I don't in any way understand why it was necessary to force the man to sit on the ground. It seemed to me, this is just me, because this is how my mind works, that if you wanted Tyreek to comply and to stop being lippy or to stop giving you excuses why he couldn't comply, the best course of action, especially since you knew he was Tyreek Hill, would have been, all right, guy, I got all day. You're the one that has a game to get to. We can take care of this quickly. We can do this as quickly as you want. If you're ready to sit, or if you are ready to listen, if you're ready to zip it, whatever it is that they wanted, you know, whatever it is that they needed to do, give him a ticket, whatever. If he didn't want to sit, fine, stand there, and you can stand there, and this will take an hour then, and you can be late for the game. I mean, knowing that he was on his way to a football game, you would think the best way to get him to do what you wanted him to do or what you were asking him to do would just be to let him waste time. And then after a while, I think he'd figure it out pretty quickly that he needed to get out of there and get to the stadium. But that's just me and how my mind works. Again, not a law enforcement officer, and I am kind of blown away. I've only seen 3.5 minutes, but after seeing this report up on NFL Network, there's 105 minutes and 33 seconds that were released by the Miami-Dade Police Department. And I can imagine that's compilations of all the different body cam videos. That's kind of, it's got to be that because they weren't out there for 95 minutes. Well, I guess in this case, an hour and a half plus. So it's interesting to see whether or not there's other video that goes viral, because there's certainly more that we're not seeing. Randy is in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Randy.
Yeah, this is Randy. How you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I agree 100% about the excessive force, but Tyreek, he should know. He got pulled over for a reason. And to my recollection is that tinted windows are illegal to begin with.
I don't think they're illegal everywhere. I think they are in some places. I don't know the Miami-Dade rules, though, so I can't speak to that.
Yeah, he got pulled over for a reason. He should have stopped, got out, and talked to the officers. Be calm and have common sense about stuff.
Well, that's easy to say. I don't know Tyreek's perspective, other than I know he's been accused of domestic violence in the past, and who knows what his experience was with law enforcement in the past. I can certainly understand being suspicious if you have had a bad experience in the past, or if someone that you love has had a bad experience in the past. The issue, though, is that ultimately, like it or not, we all have bosses, we all have authority, we all have laws that we have to follow, right? We don't always have to like it, but when
exactly. It could be a president of the United States, Amy, and knocking the window, rolling window out, he's teasing them, rolling them back up.
I don't think I would roll my window down for the president of the United States. Randy, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not sure the president is a great comparison here. I've had police officers pull me over, give me tickets, situations that I felt like they were being hard asses. I think what you run into, though, is, like it or not, and I do agree with our caller that we had a couple minutes ago, this is where body cam footage is supposed to come into play. Like it or not, whether you don't want to be there, don't agree with their decision, think they're being unreasonable, wish they would listen to you, they're the ones that are ultimately in authority. And sometimes it can feel extremely unfair and just not right. And I wish that both sides had handled it completely differently. Thankfully, there was no further escalation of it, and neither of these guys, Tyreek or Calais, were hauled off or arrested or anything like that. But yeah, just what we saw was jarring, and I just hate the whole situation, how it played out, and wish the officers had handled it differently. Chris is in Florida. Welcome to After Hours.
I'm sure you get hassled by the police, Amy, was in your much, much younger years. I'm sure you're fine now, right?
What'd you say? I'm sorry, I missed that.
You said you were getting hassled by the police. I'm sure that was in your younger days, not anymore.
I'm trying to think the last time I got pulled over. It's been about 10 years since I've been pulled over. But, I've had a fair number of exchanges. I mean, even in New York City, not even getting pulled over, but when I was coming in during the pandemic, I mean, there were police officers everywhere, and you had to stop, you had to go through checkpoints, you had to show papers, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I guess I haven't been pulled over in quite a while, but I've had exchanges with officers. There's a lot of other things in the New York City, which is where our headquarters are located. There are a lot of alcohol checkpoints too, where when at the times that I come into the city for work. And so, yeah, I mean, I do have a fair number of exchanges with them. But in terms of getting a ticket, I think it's been about 10 years or so.
Okay, we're good. About the whole situation, I'm trying to be as unpolitical as I can. But the reason that these instances with the police are happening is because they're only getting about a handful of sensitivity training and scenarios, a handful of hours, not days, hours per year. And to put it into perspective, when I was studying for the bar, and the test is 8 hours a day for 2 days, I trained for 18 hours a day for 6 months after law school, and after law school had prep courses just for the bar. So, and the reason is they're not getting funded enough. Mm. So if they were doing that, we would have these a little more or less off.
I agree with you. I think you hear that a lot, regardless of the city or the jurisdiction. It does seem like we continue to hear that more and more training is required. Certainly body cams are supposed to help, and I'm glad we have them because at least there's some accountability. So in this particular case, you know, the Miami-Dade Police Department is indicating that they're reviewing the situation. We know at least one guy was put on desk duty until they go back. So at least there is that. But in the moment, I'm not sure that that de-escalates things, right? I don't know how many people are sitting there, well, how many officers, when they feel like they've got a dangerous situation or when they lose control of their own emotions, are thinking, oh no, there's body cam footage of this. So yeah, I don't know that that works in every situation, but I agree with you. You hear a lot of lawmakers, a lot of officials say what, you know, what's required is more training, and we just don't have the resources, nor do we have the funding.
Right. And also about this, the situation. So that's why we go through. That's why the police do a whole bunch of paperwork so they can research the situation and see, okay, this is what happened. These are the parameters of the situation. Here's where it escalated. This is where it could have prevented. And they make those courses for that. But like you said, they just can't get them done. But that's the way you would do it in that scenario. And I hope I really gave you some insight on this. Andy, have a good night.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate your phone call. Let's see if we can talk to Cecilia, who's in Jacksonville, also in Florida. Cecilia, welcome to After Hours.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. I just wanted to bring up just one thing. There's quite a history here. It isn't just an accusation of domestic violence. It was a conviction and pretty extensive and pretty abusive to the girl. And so when the officer sees that, he sees that there's that conviction. He sees there's another one in the Miami area with the marina, and he hit that guy in the back of the head, and there was a, you know, that was a known thing too. It was a violent act, and he informed him that he could buy that boat or he could buy whatever he wanted. And that, you know, it was a pretty bad conflict there. And then there was a 3-year-old child with the broke arm, and you can't say whether that was, you know, him or not, but there was the tape of him telling the mother that you better be, and she told him the child is scared of you, and he told her, you better be scared of me.
I remember.
Yeah. So, I mean, when the officer sees that, he's seeing a whole lot of resistant, difficult behavior. So I think we have to keep that in mind. This wasn't I wish it wouldn't have got to that extent, but, you know, you have to look at the whole scenario, and it just, violence seems to follow him. And it's a moot point, because if he would have just put his window down and discussed it with the officer, most people will put their window down and say, what did I do? And, right. You know, that's what most of us do. And so, you know, if this didn't even have to come to this point, if he would have just complied, you know, with just simply putting your window down and talking.
Maybe. I mean, maybe you could be right, Cecilia, if that had been the case and he had left his window down, maybe the officer would have not gotten as angry as he did that quickly. I mean, still, though, I felt like the way that they handled him by the head and
right.
forcing
and
him to sit down, that to me felt way out of line.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to say about that, too, is I've done psych evals in the ER, and the one thing is, you don't know if there's drugs on board. You don't know what you're dealing with when you're the officer, and there's untold strength with folks when they're there, you know, taking some things. And I've seen people talk to me, be perfectly fine, and then just go into a wild stage that requires, five of our officers, you know, to subdue them. So, I mean, they're used to dealing with a lot of things. So I think, you know, we kind of have to, you can view all sides of it and everything, but I think there's a lot more to this than just the simple way that he expressed it when he first, you know, spoke about it. And, you know, in reference to his mother, told him how to behave and his uncle and everything. I think there's a lot more to this story.
Well, I mean, you could see that on the footage for sure. Thank you, Cecilia. I appreciate your phone call. I would think that if they knew it was Tyreek Hill, and you did hear one of the officers say that it's Tyreek Hill, and Cecilia's referencing the access to his records, I honestly have no idea if that's accurate or not. I would think that right away officers could see the traffic record, but can they see your entire record? That part I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. Maybe someone from law enforcement can let me know how extensive the background information or how extensive the records are when someone runs your license plate or when law enforcement runs your license plate. So that part I don't know. But if you know you're dealing with Tyreek Hill and he's on his way to play a football game, I don't think you're worried about drugs or that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, I wish it had gone differently. It feels like there could have been different decisions that were made along the way. Ultimately, though, just the police officers are the professionals and are the ones who I think are responsible for the tenor of the situation and responsible for the emotion and can be the ones who kind of speak the calm. I did just get this tweet from Shane, who says, once the officer had Tyreek's info, there was no need for him to require Hill to leave his window down. And I couldn't disagree with that more. Also, I am a speed demon, and almost every single time that I've been pulled over in my life, and it's happened, I would say, a good 15 to 20 times for speeding, not in a long time, but it's happened. Not one time has an officer ever approached me on my driver's side window and told me I could put my window back up. They all said, put your window down. Every single one of them, put your window down. I can remember a couple of times when they told me to leave my window down. So that to me, I feel like is actually not accurate. Just because they had his info doesn't mean they want him to put his tinted window back up so they can't see what's happening in the car. I kind of feel like that feels pretty standard. Let's do one more. Ray is in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a comment on what you said earlier about, you know, the officer being an authority. First of all, I think that we've got to realize that, I mean, they are public servants. They do work for the public. And I think I haven't seen the video, but I heard one of the other callers saying that they had his info already. I'm not sure why they...
They had a what? I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
They had his info already. They had his license and registration. So if he got pulled over for speeding, I'm not sure what Cecilia's talking about, that all the other things come into play. I mean, he got pulled over for a traffic infraction. It should have been a simple ticket. Here you go on your way. I'm not sure why they even needed him to get out of the car. I mean...
They asked him to get out of the car when he wouldn't roll down his window again. So that was kind of the crux, is like he rolled his window down a crack and then put it right back up. And the officer knocked on the window two, three times and said, roll your window down. And he's like inside the car talking, but he won't roll his window down again. So that is where it went off the rails.
I mean, I get that, but is that against the law to not roll your window down?
Well, if a police officer tells you to put your window down, you don't think you should?
I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, but I'm just saying, is that against the law? Is that a reason to pull someone out of the car, put them on the ground, face down?
No, I don't think that force was the appropriate response, but I could be wrong, but it feels like to me if a police officer tells you to do something you don't, that is against the law, yeah.
Okay, I mean, I can agree to disagree, but it is what it is.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if that's actually written on the books in Miami-Dade County. Thank you for your phone call. But I've always been under the impression that if a police officer tells you to do something and you don't, then you are in violation of the law. Again, I'll just say it again. I feel like the force was over the top.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Top and not necessary, especially as some of you have pointed out, for a traffic ticket, for a speeding violation, which is what he was told that he did wrong. The window is concerning. Who cares what he's saying? He's yapping away. Let him sit there on the curb and yap if that's what he wants to do. Let him call his agent. I mean, that's what he was doing behind the window. He put the window back up and then called his agent. It feels like cooler heads could have prevailed in this situation, and that the officer did not need to be emotional and respond to Tyreek Hill. And it'll be interesting to see what investigation, what the investigation reveals, and whether or not these officers are reprimanded or suspended, or in some case could even be facing a lawsuit because Tyreek's agent, maybe it was his agent, maybe it was his camp, someone from Tyreek's corner they put out a statement and released it to the media on Monday, indicating that they were exploring all legal options. So what Tyreek had said on Sunday, and we played the cut multiple times, is that he was going to let bygones be bygones. Essentially, he was going to just drop this and hope that they could work together, that he wasn't interested in pursuing anything against the officers. But that's not what we got from his camp on Monday. His camp put out that they are exploring legal options and that everything is open and available to them at this point. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twix. Also on our Facebook page, we are going to pivot and get to football and the game on Monday night. I know that's probably a relief to some of you, but also this is it's a big deal. Not only is it a big deal, but the footage is out there and a lot of people are seeing it. And I'm not doing my job if I'm not talking about it, but like you, it's one of those areas where, yeah, it's hard. It's everyone's got different perspectives and different opinions, and all we're seeing is video. And so we can have opinions about it, but ultimately, we're not in the shoes of either the officers or Tyreek or even Calais Campbell. There's a lot going on. Thanks so much for listening, though, and for calling in to offer your opinions. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Replay. Back to throw is Aaron Rodgers. Fires one up the right seam for Lazard. He's got it at the 5 into the end zone. That's a Jet touchdown.
Wow.
Aaron Rodgers realized, jumping in the neutral zone, San Francisco, he had a free play and took a shot right up the seam to Alan Lazard. And the Jets have a touchdown, and maybe they're back in this game.
It's been a while. I felt great. A lot of gratitude just to be back in pad. So many people helped me get to this spot, so I'm really thankful for my surgeon, my PTs, my loved ones, my friends, the staff here, training staff to help me get back was really cool. Obviously wanted to, take a shot and feel, the physicality of it. Once I, threw a couple balls and took a shot, I felt good. Felt like I was in into the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Aaron Rodgers is back. His first passing touchdown of 2024 goes to Alan Lazard, old friend, on a free play, actually. And it feels like Aaron is the king of those free plays, the hard snap counts, the trying to get the defense to jump off sides or to make a mistake. And then once the flag is thrown, he realizes he's free to be aggressive and to take a shot downfield. And so he does connect with Alan Lazard on what was the Jets' second touchdown. He actually got pulled late in the game for Tyrod Taylor once the Niners were firmly in control. And a big reason why is because they ran all over the Jets' defense. Yeah, they didn't even have Christian McCaffrey. Instead, they started Jordan Mason.
7-minute drive under center, Purdy for the Niners from the 5 of the Jets. Second down goal. Gets the snap. Handoff. Mason over the right tackle. Touchdown. Broken tackle at the goal line. And caroms off that body in for a 5-yard San Francisco touchdown run. And the Niners build their lead on a long drive, the first one of the second half. 22-7, the Niners.
Our friend Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, before that Bob Wischusen on the Jets radio network. What an opportunity for Jordan Mason into his third season, and he's been with the Niners the whole time. He had fewer than 500 rushing yards in his two seasons combined. And so he'd had he played in every game, but not had a whole lot of traffic, not even 100 carries in his career so far, but a career night for him with 147 rushing yards on 28 carries and the score that you hear. But again, it wasn't just him. He had the bulk of the work, but the Niners were able to use that run game, their offensive line, certainly able to use that ground attack to control the clock, control the ball. And Robert Saleh was asked about the Niners running all over the Jets D.
They still have a stable of backs, but at the same time, it's a they're very, very good up front, and from an efficiency standpoint, they beat us up front, plain and simple.
I saw a quote that was posted on Twix by a Jets insider. I'm sure he wasn't the only one, because it definitely was quote worthy, quotable. But unfortunately, we were supposed to have a guest. He got stuck trying to get on his plane and in traffic and just didn't have time. So we'll have to connect with him at some other point. But he was in the Bay Area to cover the Jets and Niners. And he was in the Robert Saleh press conference when Saleh was asked about the defense. This is Antoine Staley, who covers the Jets for the, is it the New York Post? New York Daily News, excuse me. So we'll have to catch up with him to get his perspective on the game. But his quote from Robert Saleh is, "We will get that bleep fixed." So you hear the watered down version of Saleh talking about the run game of the Niners because the defense is not the one that was waiting for its savior to return. Now, that defense is supposed to be really good, especially the front seven, you know, the first line of defense, if you will. Really interesting, as much as it was comically awkward to see Peyton and Bill Belichick and Eli try to navigate the three-man booth, so to speak. They just kept talking all over each other, and it was, yeah, at some point, Eli just stopped talking, and then Peyton started laughing, and then Peyton began to address each of them in turn so that neither one of them was talking. I've never seen Belichick so chatty in my life. It was very weird. If not for the fact that he was wearing a hoodie, I'm not even sure I would have recognized him. He's all laid back. He's smiling. He's making fun of Peyton. Just not Eli, of course, because he can't talk smack with Eli. Anyway, to hear him break down some of the defensive formations that he was seeing from the Jets and then the Niners, too, was really fascinating. That part I liked. It's just that it was pretty rough. The three of them all on different Zoom
they
calls.
They need to fix the lag.
They do. It was a bit of a mess.
Now, so, I will ask, did you want to hear the Robert Saleh cut? Because I could play it for you.
Oh, do you have it?
Yeah, I can.
We will get that bleep fixed. Yes.
Anytime you get run on like that, and credit to them, like I said, they it's a championship outfit, and they introduced us to some championship football, and we'll get that fixed.
They introduced us to some championship football. Interestingly enough, when Aaron Rodgers was getting ready to walk off after his press conference, a reporter asked him if he agreed with Robert Saleh and his assessment of the San Francisco 49ers.
They are a championship level group, and I hope we see him there.
They are a championship level group, and I hope we see them there. So Aaron himself was 13 for 21, 167 yards, a touchdown that you heard, an interception on a tip ball, a pretty smart tip drill by the Niners defense. And so he knows that there is a lot to work on. I mean, that was right off the top.
I can play better. Yeah, no, I mean, I missed a couple throws. I missed the one to Garrett there last drive I was in. You know, the pick, I missed just slightly inside on that one. Yeah, I mean, I felt overall I was getting the ball out pretty good. But, yeah, it's some opportunities that I'd like back.
As for Brock Purdy, he was mobile, so he was not that rushing is his first instinct, but he certainly can take off and run. I think he's kind of undervalued around the league, maybe as a runner or by fans. I shouldn't even say around the league. He will take off when he has to. And we saw that a bunch from him last year in the playoffs specifically. But he was 19 of 29 for 231 yards, couple of sacks in there, and Kyle Shanahan evaluating his starter.
Very good. I mean, there was many plays that he left out there. I thought he made some big-time plays. I mean, there towards the end, you know, got a little conservative, just felt that we had the game and wanted to focus on winning the game. So we didn't have him do a lot there at the end, and he was very smart with the ball and made sure that there was no chance for them to get back in the game.
It was clean football. It may not have been as locked in or as productive, as potent as what you would expect from the Niners, certainly with Christian McCaffrey, but Jordan Mason stepped in without any issues. They did have Deebo Samuel, right? They did have, and he played a varied role like he does. What'd he call himself? A wild back? I think that's what he dubbed himself a few years ago, a wild back. So he was doing a little bit of everything. He was carrying the ball. He was receiving, or a receiver, obviously. And so they were able to mix it up a bunch. And as for McCaffrey, it was kind of a surprise that he wasn't playing. So we'll hear from Kyle Shanahan coming up. But welcome back to Aaron Rodgers. A big night for Jordan Mason, which had to feel good. And then in general, just being now post week one, whew, big exhale, but lots of different injury news and other things, questions that still have to be answered. At A-Law Radio, if you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, that poll is still live. What do you think, Pete? Are we going to manage touchdown of the week? We call it Touchdown Tuesday, or are we not able to manage Touchdown Tuesday? I can't do it on my own, so I'm going to need your assistance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure. Why not? Touchdown Tuesday, baby. All right, so we'll work on those options, and we'll get that poll up as well. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Molly and the 49ers able to flex their muscles to kick off the season against the Jets.
From the two, under center is Purdy. Got the snap. It's a jet sweep, and it comes to Samuel to the near side. The five diving in, running over the right tackle. Touchdown, 49ers. Deebo Samuel on a jet sweep from the far to the near side. And the Niners have taken a lead with 6:54 to play before the half.
A lead they would never relinquish as the 49ers punished the Jets 32-19. Kevin Harlan the call, Western 1. Niners with 180 yards rushing despite Christian McCaffrey not playing due to the injured calf. Jordan Mason churned out a 147 in a score as the Niners had the ball for nearly 39 minutes.
Anytime you get run on like that, and credit to them, like I said, it's a championship outfit, and they introduce us to some championship football, and we'll get that fixed.
Jets head coach Robert Saleh, Aaron Rodgers, only 167 yards passing, touchdown to pick. Niners getting the lopsided victory at home. Meanwhile, police union representing the officers that detained Tyreek Hill put out a statement that he was uncooperative and was redirected to the ground while in handcuffs because he refused to sit. Head coach Mike McDaniel still emotional about the incident a day later.
The thing that f***s me up, honestly, to be quite frank, is knowing that I don't know what that feels like.
Meanwhile, a new civil lawsuit filed in Houston accusing Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and battery in October 2020. Of course, Watson served an 11-game suspension in 2022 after more than two dozen women accused him of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct. Rams lost wide receiver Puka Nacua for at least four games, placed on IR after he re-aggravated his knee injury. No IR for Jordan Love, Packers quarterback hoping to return within the four-week span after suffering a knee injury against the Eagles. Malik Willis will get the start Sunday against the Colts. Baseball, Phillies double the Rays 2-1. Cody Clemens a walk-off RBI single. Mets up at the Blue Jays 3-2. Yankees drubbed the Royals 10-4. Reds shut down the Braves 1-0. Red Sox punished the Orioles 12-3. Pirates took out the Marlins 3-2. Angels erased the Twins 6-2. It was the Guardians over the White Sox 5-3. And the Cubs, they rolled the Dodgers 10-4. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Two under center is Purdy. Got the snap. It's a jet sweep, and it comes to Samuel to the near side. The five diving in, running over the right tackle. Touchdown, 49ers. Deebo Samuel on a jet sweep from the far to the near side. And the Niners have taken a lead with 6:54 to play before the half. 12-7 with the extra point coming up.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One Radio Network. Kevin, along with Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, calling a second game this weekend. They had the Thursday night opener and now Monday Night Football from the Bay Area, where the Niners run roughshod over that Jets defense. 180 rushing yards, including Deebo Samuel, but also a career day for Jordan Mason. And Trent Williams, who recently got paid, he did an interview with NFL Network following the game, and he was asked about his reaction to the news that Christian McCaffrey would not be able to start.
Next man up. I knew JP was ready. JP been, you know, he been taking advantage of his opportunity for the last few years now. So, you know, we all got the most faith in the world in him.
And he certainly came through. 147 yards on 28 carries and a score. Now, as for the Niners, it's been a bit of a tumultuous offseason. Maybe it doesn't affect or have ripple effects all the way through the locker room, but if nothing else, the questions that these players were constantly getting about Brandon Ayuk, about Trent Williams, who went out there on the field and played 65 consecutive offensive snaps, but he also needed an IV. He told Omar Ruiz of NFL Network that he was cramping up, so he had to have fluids. So there's a product of not being in training camp, and he's indicated he didn't want to hold out. He never thought his contract situation would drag on this long, but he was definitely feeling it. Still, good to see him out there. I'm glad that's been worked out and resolved. Brandon Ayuk, that got messy before Ayuk was given or agreed to sign the contract that was given to him by the San Francisco 49ers, and still there are questions. Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa talking about this preseason and how they kind of put that whole thing behind them.
Our culture, our team, what we stand for and how we all come together and find ways to win and rally around each other. We do it right here. And that's something that I stand on and firmly believe in, and we all do. So, you know, I'm very proud of the guys to be able to, you know, fight through just all the adversity and stuff that we've been going through in the last however many months. But we're just going to keep pushing.
Our ownership really takes care of us, and you have to when you have really good players, and we have really good players at every position. And when guys aren't there, I mean, we have their back. We know that when they get back, they're going to work their butts off. So so it doesn't change. When they're not here, we're working, and when they come, we're working.
That's the voice of Nick Bosa. I also heard him talk about stuffing the run and how that's always the stated goal of the Niners defense, because they want to make opposing offenses one-dimensional. It's funny, too, because football's pretty complicated. There are a lot of nuances, the terminology, the number of plays, different wrinkles, the various options. And the more experienced and the more adept a quarterback is at reading defenses, the more that coaches and OCs can offer as options. However, it's also really simple. The game itself and the concepts of the game itself are really simple. It's one of those, well, duh, McFly type of moments about stopping the run is, yeah, of course, if you can take away a run game from any opponent and force them to throw, if you can force them to have to pass, well, then it, especially if we're talking about a pass rush like the Niners have, where they feel like they can get to the quarterback, if you are forcing your opponents to throw the ball, specifically either being in shotgun or a drop back type of a situation, well, then the pass rushers have more options too. Because especially when you're thinking about throwing the ball deep, if a quarterback has to wait for that receiver to get downfield or for them to break on their routes and watch the play unfold, and you don't have a running game to speak of, you could often be in third and long situations, and then you also know exactly what's coming. So that helps the defense and the pass rushers create their game plan and make sure that they are ready for what's happening too. So yeah, it takes a lot of the guesswork out of it as well if you know what your opponent has to do. And it certainly helps that you get into a situation where you're leading as well, because once you do that and you're able to stop the run, you know that your opponent has to throw anyway. That makes it, I don't want to say the guesswork any easier, because they're not guessing necessarily, but I mean that the quarterback, especially a veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, can change the play. He certainly has many different looks and options available to him, or you theoretically that would be the case with a veteran QB. But if you have to throw the ball, well, then it takes some of the guesswork out of, okay, what are they going to do here and where are they going? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, online at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Let's see what else I want. Oh, Kyle Shanahan. So he notoriously does not want to deal with any type of question that has to do with personnel or contracts or anything like that. He's, in general, doesn't really enjoy doing the media part of being a head coach. But he did praise his team for the way they've come through the preseason and been able to focus on the task at hand in week one.
I mean, I'm with our team every day, so I know there's lots of news stories and stuff with holdouts and things like that, and when are people coming back. But our guys have been awesome in practice. They've been very focused. You know, anytime guys don't get a lot of practice in, you know, I wish we could have more, so I wanted to mesh more with those guys who just got here this week. But being able to get four practices in with those guys, having the extra day, things like that, was great for them. Still got a long way to go. Today by no means was perfect. There were some parts that were sloppy, but just overall, all three phases played really well together.
Kyle Shanahan, about as effusive in his praise as he ever will be. So, yes, Niners out to a 1-0 start, and they do look really good, even with everything else that's happened over the course of their preseason, their training camp, the contracts, the chatter about that, and obviously losing Christian McCaffrey right before they were able to kick off this game. He was asked whether or not McCaffrey had a setback with his calf muscle, and he indicated he didn't necessarily have a setback. They've just been reevaluating anytime that he gets extensive work throughout camp and preseason. They're checking it all the time. They're constantly careful with him for obvious reasons. You definitely don't want to put him out there when the calf muscle might be weaker or it's susceptible to further injury, because it's a long season. To lose him for one game at the beginning is nothing when you consider big picture, right? We are halfway through at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.